Thank you for tuning in to the Journey Churches podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Evan Owens. For more information about the church, please log in to tjclebanon.com.
Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Lord, may your praise endure forever in our lives. May that be our heart's posture today, tomorrow, and every day that we take breath. Lord, may we praise you as the giver of all things. Lord, you are so gracious to us. You are so merciful to us. There is reason for us to show thanks. There is reason for us to have gratitude, even in life's worst circumstances. There's still so much for us to be thankful for. So as we dive into your word this morning, may our heart's posture be ready to receive your word. Lord, may we see what you have done and what you desire to do in our lives through Jesus. And it's in his name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we are going to talk about this idea of gratitude, this idea of Thanksgiving coming off the heels of the holiday on Thursday. If you're anything like me, you've kind of been celebrating all week long. I think we had a gathering on Monday and then another one too on Thursday, another one yesterday. And so we've been feasting all week long in my family and in our GC and many different avenues. And so I hope that you had an incredible holiday, whether it was with family or with friends. And I'm sure you had plenty to eat and all that good stuff as we stuff our face with turkey and dressing and ham and dessert and you name it, right? We eat plenty on Thanksgiving. I think that's why people love Thanksgiving so much, especially in the South, because really it's all centered around eating and getting together with family. And so it's one of my favorite holidays because the whole holiday is centered around food and fellowship. And so those times are incredible, and there are many different traditions that come along with Thanksgiving as well. We kind of gloss over Thanksgiving a little bit in our culture now because we move straight from Halloween, which is a big consumer holiday with all the candy bought and costumes and all that kind of stuff. And then you move straight from Halloween into Christmas most of the time because that's what they start putting in the stores, because Thanksgiving just doesn't sell as much stuff as Halloween or Christmas does. But Thanksgiving really puts us in this posture of gratitude, and it makes us think about the things that we have in our life and in our heart. And so I don't want us to gloss over the holiday because it's very important for us, and the attitude that it directs us towards should be one that we should have not only on Thanksgiving Day, but really on a daily basis. This attitude of thankfulness and this posture of gratitude should be one that carries throughout the year. And so that's what I really want to focus on this morning. But maybe you have the tradition of getting together with family or getting together with friends. You see people that you don't see very often. You watch NFL football on Thanksgiving Day. You eat turkey. You crack the wishbone. Whatever your traditions might be. And the best tradition of all, of course, is taking a nap after you've eaten turkey. Nothing beats that on Thanksgiving than taking a good turkey nap. That's the best part of Thanksgiving. Maybe you go around the table and you speak a thing that you're thankful for. I know a lot of people do that. We've done that at times in our family. We didn't do it this year, but we've done it. Sometimes my granddad will say, okay, I want everyone to say something that they're thankful for this year. I guess he thought everyone looked too hungry this year and we didn't do it. But I think that's a good practice for us to make. It's good for us to speak about the things that we are thankful for. And so maybe you've taken time to do that in your life, because there's really so much for us to be thankful for. Maybe you've gotten married this year. We got a lot of newly married couples or newly engaged couples at our church. We've got babies being born all over the place, babies on the way, and just so many things to be thankful for. Maybe you got a promotion or a raise. Maybe your loved ones overcame illness this year. Maybe you purchased your first home. Maybe you've got a new relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're growing in the Lord. There are so many things for us to be thankful for. So thankful for what God is doing at this church as he just continues to draw people to himself. It's incredible to just see where we were at this time last year and see where God has brought us this year as we purchased this building. There is just an endless list of things for us to be thankful for. But the reality is that it's not only around Thanksgiving, not only in November, that we need to be thankful for those things. We need to have this posture on a daily basis of thanking the Lord for what he has done and what he is going to continue to do. So how do we take that and move it into an everyday posture of our hearts? And how do we take that, what we're thankful for, and direct the praise to who it's truly due to? Because we're not just thankful for these things, right? And we're not just thankful for the people. But if we believe God is who he says he is, that he is the giver of all things, then ultimately all of our gratitude, all of our thanksgiving should be directed in one direction, and that is towards him. Because he is the one who has given us all things. He is the one who has given us the people in our lives. And so how do we direct that praise and give him the glory that he is due? Because that's ultimately what our expressions of gratitude should lead us to, worship. Thankfulness and gratitude should lead us to worship of the giver of all things, of the creator of all things. And so for a family to sit around who doesn't give glory to God and doesn't believe in God and give thanksgiving, they're missing the point. They're missing the point of thankfulness because they're not giving the glory. We don't thank the luck of the draw. We don't thank ourselves. We thank our Heavenly Father who has given us all things. And so our Christian life should be marked by gratitude, should be marked by thankfulness for the beautiful gifts we have in this world, and we should worship him because of that. We thank the Lord that he is our guider, our helper, our provider, and we show gratitude out of recognition for all that he has done. And so what I want you to see today is that true gratitude comes from delighting in the Lord, and you cannot follow him wholeheartedly if he is not the center of your delights. True gratitude comes from delighting in the Lord, and you cannot follow him wholeheartedly if he is not the center of your delights. A proper understanding of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done should produce Christians who give thanks not only on Thanksgiving, but on a daily basis. On a day-by-day, minute-by-minute basis, we should be thanking the Lord for what he has done in our lives through Jesus Christ. That should be our heart's posture. And so as we talk about gratitude this morning, this isn't just a sermon to say, yeah, we need to be more thankful. We do, but this is really about the posture of our hearts. What is the attitude that we walk through life with? Is it a sense of entitlement or a humble gratitude for what God has done? It's really what we need to ask ourselves on a daily basis. Our lifestyle should be marked by this attitude of thanksgiving because of the many ways that God has restored us, preserved us, blessed us, redeemed us, renewed us, and on the list goes. God is constantly at work for his people, and we should never cease to give him the praise or to thank him for those things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So how do we live that lifestyle? How do we give thanks in all situations, in all circumstances? And if it's truly impossible to follow the Lord unless he is the source of our gratitude, how do we make Jesus the center of our delights? Because everything we delight in, we're grateful for. Everything we're grateful for, we delight in. They go hand in hand, right? I find great joy in my relationship with my wife. And so I'm thankful for her, right? And because I'm thankful for her, I find more joy in that relationship. They go hand in hand. The things that we delight in, we're grateful for. The things that we're grateful for, we delight in. And so we need to direct that posture towards Jesus, to delight in him, be satisfied with him and him alone. This is what we're created for, to walk with him, to love him, and to be so thankful and grateful that the Lord Almighty is our God. This is why John Piper, his most famous quote, is that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. That should be the posture of our hearts. The Westminster Shorter Catechism asks this question: what is the chief end of man? In other words, what in the world do we exist for? The answer is the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. He is meant to be the center of our joy, the center of our delight. So how do we live like this? Well, I want us to break down and dissect Psalm 111 this morning, almost verse by verse, kind of sentence by sentence, word by word, as we see what the psalmist is declaring, this attitude of thanksgiving, because we live in a world that is so full of fake joys, fake delights, but we are called to delight in the Lord. And so we want to be those type of people who find joy in him and in him alone. So let's take a look at this psalm together again, and let's just go line by line and see what the psalmist is trying to teach us and what he is declaring in his own heart, and I believe what we should declare in our hearts as well. So verse 1, they'll be up on the screen if you want to look at those, and we're just going to go line by line. He says, "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright and in the congregation." And so the first thing that this psalmist is just declaring right from the bat is that he is going to give thanks. He is declaring in his heart that he will give thanks and he will give praise to the Lord. And in a minute, he's going to tell us what he is giving thanks for. He's going to direct our attention towards what he is proclaiming and what he is praising the Lord for. But I really just love that he starts out with this declaration that I will give thanks in my heart. I will praise the Lord for what he has done. I will give thanks. And I think there's so often in our life when we just need to make that same declaration that we are going to be thankful, that we are going to give the Lord thanks for what he has done. And sometimes it means that we just need to make that same type of statement, that same type of declaration, because there's so many things swirling around us and there are so many things going on in our lives that we miss the opportunity to give God the glory for the things that he has given us. And there are times when we just need to slow down and, just as the psalmist does, make this declaration that I am going to be thankful. I am going to give thanks. And this is an incredible, incredible problem that we have in this country, because we have this sense of entitlement, that everything we have is really what we deserve, right? And we have a right to everything. That's kind of how we feel about things in this country. And what that leads to is us not being thankful for almost anything that we have. And so we miss this opportunity to show gratitude. We miss this opportunity to show thankfulness. And there are times when we just need to declare in our hearts, just as the psalmist does, to be thankful. And he does this not to be boastful, not to brag about what God has done, but to give him the glory for what he has done. And I love that he says, I'm going to declare to give thanks in my own heart, but he says, I'm going to do it in the presence of the congregation, in the company of the upright. He says, not only am I going to do this privately, but I'm going to do this in front of everyone else. I want everyone else to see what God has done. I want them to see me give praise to him for what he has done, so that their eyes can be directed towards him as well. It's not boastful. It's not prideful. It's directing others' eyes towards what God has done. He wants them to see his attitude and see the thankfulness that he has in his heart, so that they will give God the glory that he is due as well. Our attitude should be soaked with gratefulness, with gratitude. And I know that life is not always perfect. I know that maybe 2017 has not been a good year for you. Maybe the circumstances of life have been rough. You're not in a good place. You got relationships that are broken. You've struggled at work, whatever it might be. But there's always reason for us to express gratitude. And sometimes it's in the midst of those deep pains, those deep sorrows, when we need to make this declaration more than ever, that I will be thankful, that I will give thanks to the Lord no matter what is going on in my life. And we need to have that posture and that attitude. A lack of thankfulness leads to a sense of entitlement, as we've talked about, that everything that we have, we deserve, or bitterness, where we feel like we're not getting what we deserve. And entitled and bitter people are not fun people to be around. That's not what the posture of our heart should be. And that points us to a person who is not delighting in the Lord. Delighting in the Lord should not lead us to entitlement or bitterness. Delighting in the Lord leads us to a posture of saying, everything I have comes from God, and I don't deserve any of it. I don't deserve any of it. And that's what delighting in the Lord shows us. And bitterness, entitlement, leads to grumbling and complaining about what we don't have, that we need more, that I'm not getting what I deserve, I'm not getting my fair share, and we just grumble and we complain all the time, and that's not what we're meant to do. Author John Bloom says this. He says, "Grumbling will be the forever accent of hell, and gratitude the forever accent of heaven." Let me read that again. Grumbling will be the forever accent of hell, and gratitude the forever accent of heaven. Let that sink in and let that soak your heart, and let that help you realize what our attitude should be as we walk through this life. Not an attitude of entitlement, thinking that we deserve anything, but a humble gratitude of knowing that God has given us all things and that we can be thankful for them. Grumbling will be forever the accent of hell, but gratitude the forever accent of heaven. And so the psalmist says, I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to proclaim and declare what the Lord has done. Verse 2, he begins to tell us what he is going to be thankful for. He says, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Great are the works of the Lord. What are the works of the Lord that this psalmist is proclaiming praise for? Well, he is thanking the Lord for bringing the Israelites out of Egypt and bringing them into the promised land. This is what he is writing this psalm about, and that's the works of the Lord that he is proclaiming thankfulness for. That God rescued the Israelites out of Egypt, that he preserved them in the desert, and that he brought them into redemption, into the promised land. And so he is saying, I will praise the name of the Lord for that because his works are great. And then look at that second line. He says, they are studied. The works of the Lord are studied by all who delight in him. I don't want you to miss this idea of all who delight in the Lord study the works of God. What does that mean for us? It means that if we are truly delighting in the Lord, then we should be delighting in the word of the Lord. If we are truly delighting in the Lord, then we should study the works of the Lord. And what is the main tool that the Lord has given to us to study what he has done? It's the Bible. And so if we are truly delighting in him, if we are truly searching for joy in Jesus, then we should search for joy in the pages of Scripture. We should seek to sit down with him, hear from him, read of him, study his works of what he has done. This is what he has given to us. And so we should have that posture of studying the word of the Lord, delighting in his word and studying it, because that's how we remind ourselves of his works and of how great they are and what he has done. And so, yeah, we remember what he has done in our own life, but we've got thousands and thousands of pages of history to remember as well of what he has done. There is endless things for us to study of what God has done and to give him praise for. And so if you don't have that desire, if you don't have that delight in the word of the Lord, if you don't have that desire to pursue him and to grow in him, then you're not delighting in him. And you need to ask God to give you that passion. You need to ask God to give you that delight in him so that your attention and that your satisfaction will be in Christ. You can't say, I love Jesus and never want to get to know him. You don't truly love him. You've got to run after him and you've got to pursue him and study him. He says they're studied by all who delight in him. And so if you don't have that delight, ask him for it. Ask him for it. And I think that's a prayer that God will answer every time, because he wants people to love him. He wants people to grow in him and to have a passion for him. And so you ask him for that, I think he's going to give it to you. But if you're not delighting in the word of the Lord, then it's really hard for us to truly delight in Jesus. So center your delights around the Lord. Let him lead you to a deeper passion for him, which will then produce deeper gratitude for all that he has done. That's what it means for us to center our delights on him, to study his works, to think of him, to give him the praise that he is so worthy of. So he says, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. He is thanking the Lord for what he has done. And he'll continue to do that as he describes the works of the Lord. Verse 3, full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He says, full of splendor and majesty is his work. Why can we be thankful for the works of God just as the psalmist is? Because when we see the works of God rightly, we see that the works of God are right. When we see the works of God rightly, we see that the works of God are right. That's what produces gratitude and thankfulness in our heart. When we look and see what God has done, if we see it correctly, we should see that it was right and it was good. Because all that God does is right and good. His righteousness, as the psalmist declares, endures forever. And so all that he has done, all that he is doing, and all that he will do is right and good, because that's who God is. His righteousness endures forever. And so when we look at what he has done, even the bitter providences in our lives, we can say, Lord, it is good for me. because every ounce of joy and every bitter providence in our life comes from the hand of God, and everything that comes from the hand of God is right and good for us, and we should be thankful for it. This is what the psalmist is declaring. He says, full of splendor, full of majesty, the works of God are beautiful to behold, and his righteousness endures forever. This idea of forever, you're going to hear this throughout the rest of this psalm. It's really an incredible thought for us to think about, and I'll return to that in just a moment. He says his righteousness endures forever. It's not about what he has done, just about what he has done, but about what he'll continue to do. And it has the same pattern. This is who God is, that he continues on through these works, doing the same things, and righteousness and his goodness endure forever. What he chooses to do is good and right, and we should see it in that way, and that should produce thankfulness in our hearts. Verse 4, he says, he has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The psalmist expresses his thankfulness that the Lord causes his works to be remembered. What an incredible thing to be thankful for. That he doesn't just forget what God has done, but they have passed these things along, right? You see this idea of remembering all throughout Scripture. Remember what the Lord has done. Look back on what the Lord has done. Remember, remember, remember. Because when we remember what the Lord has done, we trust him more. We love him more. We're more grateful and we're more thankful for what he has done. And we trust that he's going to continue to work. It's when we forget those things, we forget what he has done, that we begin to doubt him. And so this refrain of remembering goes throughout Scripture. But what an incredible advantage we have over the psalmist, because we have the word of the Lord. We have this sitting right on our shelves that we can go to and remember what the Lord has done on a daily basis. And most of us probably have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of them on our shelves. Just works of the Lord right here in an encyclopedia that we can look at and remember what he has done anytime we need a reminder. The question we have to ask ourselves are we taking advantage of it? Are we spending any time in this? Are we remembering what the Lord has done? Or are we just relying on our fragile minds to remember? We don't have to, because he has given us a gift. I love, he says, the Lord is gracious and merciful. And the word of the Lord is a gracious and merciful gift to his people. Do you realize what a privilege this is? There are 114 million people across the world who do not have a single word of Scripture in their own language. And over a billion people who don't have the entire Bible in their own language. But 114 who don't have not even a single word of this book in their own language. And there are literally people dying day by day who have never had a chance to encounter the word of God. And we have the privilege to encounter it anytime we want to. Not only through this book, but through that little device that sits in our pocket and in our hand and that we stare at most of the time. And we can encounter the word of God. That's a privilege. That's a gracious and merciful gift from our Father. Are we studying his works? Are we remembering what he has done? Because he is worthy of that time, and that is an incredible privilege. Delight in the Lord by delighting in his word. Take advantage of the gift he has provided through the Scriptures. And even when we feel like there's nothing else to be thankful for, we can be thankful for the word of God, that we can know him and that he has shown himself to us. Remember his works. Thank him for what he has done. Verse 5 says, he provides food for those who fear him, and he remembers his covenant forever. Here's this idea of forever again. But he says he provides food for those who fear him. I want you to think about what he is thanking the Lord for. If you remember the story, after Moses leads the Israelites out of Egypt and they wander in the desert and they're wondering what in the world they're going to do for food, what does the Lord do? He promises them that he will provide for them. And he says, I'm going to provide manna and I'm going to provide quail for you. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to provide it for you every morning. And you are to take only what you need for that day. He says, I want you to trust me that I'm going to continue to provide for you on a day-by-day basis. Don't take what I give you this morning and store it up for the rest of the week. Take only what you need for the day. And if you store more than what you need, it's going to spoil. It's going to ruin. And they didn't believe God. They didn't trust him for their daily bread. And so they took more than what they needed. they stored it up, and the next morning they came back to it, and it was full of maggots, it was full of worms, and it was just completely ruined. God said, as he said he would do, that it would ruin, that it would spoil, because they didn't trust him for their daily bread. He says, just take what you need for the day, and I promise I'll provide. And he showed himself to be faithful in those moments, that he would provide, that they could trust him, that he would remember his covenant to provide for his people. But he didn't just remember his covenant to provide for his people as they wandered in the desert. He remembers his covenant forever, and he promises to provide all that we need in this life. And we can trust in that, and we can be thankful for that, that he will provide. And so many things we think we need are really just what we want. When we boil it down, most of us have what we need. And so we can thank God that he has provided for us in so many different areas, and that he will remember to continue to provide for us. He doesn't leave us alone. And so, are you trusting the Lord for your daily bread? Or are you relying on that bank account? Are you relying on that paycheck that is coming? Yes, those are means that God uses to provide for us. But what's the posture of your heart? Is the posture of your heart saying, I earned this by working 40 hours? Or this is a gift from the Lord that he has given to me to provide? It's so much about our attitude, so much about how we direct our thoughts, and how God is providing for us. And he wants to provide for us, and he delights in doing that. He will provide because he is a promise keeper, and all that he says he will do, we can be assured that he will do it. He will do it. He remembers his covenant forever. Verse 6, he says, he has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. He says his works are powerful, and he has shown them to his people. He has not left them in the dark, but he has revealed himself to them. He has made it plain that he is who he says he is, and that he is as powerful as he says he is. And he has promised them an inheritance of the promised land for these people. And they have entered into that inheritance. And he promises us the inheritance that Christ deserves, that Christ gives to us, and that we share in with Jesus through his death and his resurrection. That is what awaits us. He has shown us the power of his works, and he has revealed himself to us most vividly through his Son, Jesus Christ. We are not left in the dark, but we can delight in the Lord because he invites us into a relationship with him through Christ. We can delight in him because he invites us into that relationship. He has shown us his ultimate power by raising Christ from the dead and making a way for us to be right with God again. He has shown his works to us. And so just as the psalmist declares, he has shown the power of his works by rescuing the people out of Egypt, by bringing them into the promised land, we can say he has shown us the power of his works by raising Jesus from the dead and making a way for us. We have seen it. We have seen it clearly. Are we grateful for it? Are we thankful for it? And are we delighting in what Christ has done? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. And there is an inheritance waiting for us. Ephesians 2 says that he desires to show us the riches of his grace for all time. He desires to show the riches of his grace through Jesus Christ. That's the inheritance waiting for us if we are in Jesus Christ. And so we can be thankful for those things. Verses 7 and 8, he says, the works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, and to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. We are to faithfully obey the word of the Lord, what he has called us to do, and we are meant to do that forever and ever. He says the works of his hands are faithful and just, and so we can trust that what God does is good, it is just, it is right, that he is trustworthy. And so we see this idea, and again, you see this idea of forever and ever. And you've seen that word multiple times in this passage, because what he is saying is that who God was in the past is who he is in the present, and it's who he will be in the future. We can trust that God is who he says he is, and he will be who he will be for all of time. He is never changing. And so he is always good. He is always gracious. He is always merciful. He's always faithful. He's always trustworthy. And you name it. Everything that this psalmist thanks the Lord for being is who he is today. As we sit in this room, that's exactly who God is. He hasn't changed. And so why can we center our lives around him? Because people change, jobs change, circumstances change, relationships change, you name it. Everything around us changes, but God never does. And so we want to center our lives around that unchanging truth. The truth of who God is, and that who he has been is who he is now, and who he will forever be. Forever trustworthy, forever gracious, forever righteous. That is who he is, and that's why we center our lives around that truth. And so as we move into this response time, I want you to see the last two verses, because this really sets our eyes and sets our hearts on an incredible truth. Because we can look back and we can see what the Lord has done in our lives, and there are so many things that we need to be thankful for, and we talked about those things, but ultimately what we need to be thankful for and what we can be thankful for, even if our life is crumbling all around us, is that he has sent redemption to us. Look at verse 9. He says, he sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all those who practice it have a good understanding, and his praise endures forever. And so even when we lose a job, even when a child is sick, or we lose a family member, or you name it, we can still praise the Lord that he has sent redemption to his people. See, we get so focused on the things in our life that we don't have, or that we lose, or that we miss, and we forget to thank the Lord for what he has given us. And that is an enduring hope through Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, I thank you that you have redeemed your people out of Egypt. You have brought them out of slavery and the shackles of Pharaoh. And we can proclaim the same truth this morning, that he has brought us out of the shackles of sin and into his glorious life. We sang earlier, it's because of his death that we have life. He has sent redemption to his people through Jesus Christ, and ultimately, no matter what is going on, we can be grateful for that. So we praise and we thank the Lord that he sent Jesus to the cross for our redemption, and that we have been purchased by his blood, that through faith in Christ and only through faith in Christ is redemption possible. And we show a fear or a respect for the Lord by practicing wisdom and showing that we have a good understanding of what Christ has done by centering our lives around him. Verse 10, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what the fear of the Lord really means is a respect, a love and awe of who God is and what he has done. And we practice wisdom and we practice a good understanding of that by centering our lives around him in recognition of what he has done. And when we see what he has done, how can we not have gratitude for? And how can we not delight in the one who has laid down his life for sinners like you and me? And so as we talk about this idea of gratitude, there is no greater reason for us to be grateful than what Jesus has done on our behalf. Nancy Guthrie, an author, says this: we enjoy God's blessing only because Jesus experienced the full measure of God's curse in our place. We enjoy God's blessing only because Jesus experienced the full measure of God's curse in our place. Every ounce of wrath that you and I deserved wasn't just wiped away, wasn't just thrown to the side, it was poured upon the head of Jesus in our place, so that we can enjoy the blessings of God, so that we can enjoy a relationship with God. And for that, you and I, no matter what is going on, have reason to be grateful this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. We thank you for so great a salvation, such an undeserved gift of grace. And Lord, we can proclaim with the psalmist this morning that your deeds, your works are righteous, your works are gracious, and your works are oh so merciful. The Israelites repeatedly forgot you, repeatedly disobeyed you. They didn't deserve your rescue. They didn't deserve to be redeemed, and neither do we. Lord, there is nothing, nothing that we did yesterday, nothing that we will do today, nothing that we will do tomorrow that will make you love us any more or love us any less, because you have loved us fully through Jesus Christ. It's through his death and his resurrection that we have hope, that we have reason for true gratitude, that we have reason to center our delights and our joys around him. So I pray this morning for the individual in the middle of tough circumstances of life, that they would be thankful for salvation. God, if there is someone in this room who does not know Jesus, who has not experienced that joy, that today would be the day of salvation, that they would center their hopes and their delights around the finished work of Jesus on the cross. They would step into the blessings of God because the curse was laid on Jesus' head. Lord, you have shown us the power of your works by raising Christ from the dead. So Lord, may we respond with gratitude. May we respond by centering our lives around him and him alone. And may we look to him for satisfaction. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Amen. As we take communion this morning, as we respond to the word, let this be a time of giving the Lord your praise, giving the Lord your thanks. You've probably taken time over the last few days to do that, but let's take some more time this morning to thank the Lord for what he has done in your life. Thank him for the things that he is doing and what he will do. Let's respond together this morning. Heavenly Father, you are so worthy of our gratitude. You are so worthy of our praise. Lord, I think in my own life of all the things that I have to be thankful for, all the things that you have given to me, things that I don't deserve. I could begin to list them, but it would take me too long. So, Lord, there is never a time where we should not be able to praise you. Never a time where we should not be able to thank you. So, Lord, I pray for hearts in this room that we would begin to center our delights more and more in Jesus. That we would have a renewed sense of gratitude for what you have done and what you will do. That you are who you say you are, and that you will be who you will be for all of eternity. That your promises are sure, that your covenants will be kept, that you will provide, that you are righteous, that you are good. Lord, there is no greater thing for us to center our lives on than that truth, than that reality of who you are and what you have done. Lord, may we resolve to do that today. May we, just as the psalmist does, declare to give you thanks in all circumstances. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.